Okay, so let's have the update first. Members may recall that the second task force meeting in February 2012, the Secretariat briefed members on the overview of water-dependent land use activities in Victoria Harbour. And then at the sixth meeting, when members discussed the item, planning for Victoria Harbour front approach and process, the Chair invited the Secretary to provide an update on water-dependent land uses and the water-land interfaces in Victoria Harbour further to the last stocking exercise. And the Secretary has coordinated with the relevant government departments and bureaucrats to provide such an update. The paper with the relevant plans and clause was circulated to members on the 19th of September. And at this point, I would like to... where's Christine? Okay, thanks. We are always looking at here. I would like to invite Christine as the Secretary of the Task Force to brief members on the update of the water-dependent uses in Victoria Harbour in 2014. Over to you, Christine.
Thank you, Chair. Task Force members may actually recall that the Secretary has conducted a stock-taking exercise on the water-dependent use in Victoria Harbour back at the second Task Force meeting in February 2012. After that, we have asked different departments to brief members on different particular types of water-land interfaces within Victoria Harbour at subsequent meetings. Seeing that some time has passed since the last exercise, Task Force Chair actually has asked the Secretary to provide an update to the information as at this particular moment in time so that we can provide a better context for members to consider the planning of Victoria Harbour. And that's why we have actually put together these two agenda items together today for an overall holistic view of the Victoria Harbour. And for this exercise, the Secretary has drawn inputs from various departments, including MDTD, CDD Plan, D, and others. But I would like to add a caveat here that I hope members would understand that we have tried our best to collect and verify all the information to the best of our knowledge. However, the information contained in this PowerPoint presentation may not be exhaustive, and I apologize. And I hope that members would actually help us to supplement information if you see anything that actually doesn't look right to you. First of all, we shall go through the following slides showing the harbour-wide or territory-wide distribution of various land uses activities. Using four broad categories of water-dependent land uses, we have actually adopted for the past years of discussions, and they are transport, port/industrial, municipal, and tourism/recreational. And first of all, we'd like to talk about the transport use of water land uses. For this particular land uses, they mainly include public piers and landings, ferry piers and ferry terminals. Separately, we're also aware of around like 24 piers or landings that are owned by private developers within Victoria Harbour. However, they are not included in this presentation, in this particular exercise. Here are some of the pictures showing the different types of transport-related water-dependent land use for this presentation. For public piers and landings, they are actually providing landing steps which are mainly used for embarkation and disembarkation of passengers onto vessels, and they're open for use by members of the public free of charge. For ferry piers, there are actually two types, namely the passenger ferry piers, which are for operation of passenger ferry services, and the vehicular ferry piers, which are for operation of vehicular ferry services, including dangerous goods vehicles. Indeed, the task force, this particular task force, has been briefed on the overview of public landing facilities at our third meeting in August 2012, and then further look into the distribution of public landing facilities in Kai Tak area at the fourth meeting, as well as the West Kowloon Culture District and Central and Wan Chai District at the fifth meeting. This map, I hope you can actually tell, it shows the distribution of public and government piers and landings within Victoria Harbour, as well as ferry piers and terminals. In 2014, we have identified 136 public and government landing facilities within the harbour, out of which 52 are public piers and landings, 21 are passenger and vehicular ferry piers, as well as two ferry terminals. As compared to the last stock-taking exercise in 2012, there actually two new public landing steps constructed in Kai Tak, as circled on the slide. There's also a new Wan Chai Ferry Pier, which commenced operation on the 30th of August, as you would know, learn from news. East Ferris to replace the original Wanchai East Ferry Pier. And also the previous landing serving Fenwick Pier is temporarily removed for the construction works of Wanchai Development Phase 2. Three public landings will be reprovisioned for the use of the Fenwick Pier. However, these three particular new landings are not shown in this map because they are not yet open for use by the public right now. And these are pictures showing the newly built Kai Tak landings, as mentioned, and the new Wan Chai Ferry Pier. Just to focus here on ferry piers and ferry terminals within the Victoria Harbour, that's actually no difference, as mentioned, in terms of the number of these facilities as compared to a 2012 exercise. The location of the ferry pier in Wan Chai has been slightly moved forward. Members may also note that there are three vehicular ferry piers within Victoria Harbour, and two of them are still in use for operating dangerous goods vehicles ferry services, and they are in Kwun Tong and North Point. And we And then for the second land use, that is port or / industrial, we have identified 9 types of water-dependent land use or water-land interfaces in this exercise, and 4 of them are related to the water body, while the remaining 5 are water-dependent land uses. And we're going to go through them one by one. But first of all, this is a map showing a general use of the water body within Victoria Harbour. And you can actually see from this particular slide that the principal fairways, which really occupies a lot of space of the harbour. And according to the MD, vessels should not anchor within the fairway limits, and they should also observe international regulations for preventing collisions at sea, published by the International Maritime Organization. Apart from the fairways, some water bodies within Victoria Harbour are also designated for uses, such as typhoon shelters, designated private mooring areas, and designated bunkering areas. We'll first look at the typhoon shelters. Out of the 14 typhoon shelters in Hong Kong, 7 are located within the harbour, Victoria Harbour. They are sea areas partly enclosed by breakwaters, primarily for vessels to take refuge during typhoons and inclement weather. And MD has actually briefed members on typhoon shelters back in August 2013, as members may remember. And the picture up there is just to show the new Yaomate typhoon shelter. And then on designated mooring areas, there are 11 of them in the harbour, and vessel owners are allowed to actually lay private moorings for berthing of vessels in these areas. And then the blue dots designate bunkering areas within the harbour. There are currently 3 out of the 8 designated bunkering areas located within the harbour. And these are floating marine oil filling stations are permitted to operate within these areas to transfer marine fuel oil to a receiving vessel. And then moving on, there are also a number of port-related water-dependent uses within the harbour. That includes container terminals, PCWAs, and midstream sites. First, on container terminals, the 9 of them are situated in the Kwai Chung Cheng E Basin, and they are now presently operated by 5 different operators. They occupy 279 hectares of land and provide 24 berths for use. And for public cargo working areas, they involve the short-term allocation of berths and waterfront working areas for the purpose of loading and unloading cargo bulk and containerized cargo to and from barges. There are altogether 6 of them, and 4 of them are located within the Victoria Harbour, which are the New Yaomate, Rambler Channels, Doncaster's Island, and Western District. And they are now managed by the MD. And for midstream sites, midstream sites are actually added on top of container terminals and PCWAs to serve as another option for port operations. They're mainly used for loading and unloading of ocean and river cargoes from barges to trucks and lorries. They're typically run by private operators. As for barging facilities, there are 11 of them, and they are used for receipt or disposal of construction materials, waste by sea, arising from infrastructure developments. And for those that are actually within the Victoria Harbour area, they are largely temporary in nature for serving various infrastructure developments in Hong Kong, such as the Sha Tin Central Link or the Kai Tak development. And for the there are actually three areas for private shipyards in Hong Kong, and they are in Cheng East, Stone Cutters Islands, and Sha Kai Wat. And for municipal uses, the third use of water-dependent land uses, these uses are associated with government facilities providing services to the public. As you can read from the slide, a number of departments have different types of these facilities within the Victoria Harbour, and they include the AFCD, the EPD, the Hong Kong Police Force, FSD, Customs, Observatory, Marine Department, DSD, and WSD. In this particular exercise, we have covered 15 types of these land uses in the Victoria Harbour. We have plotted the relevant water-dependent uses on the map for your information. First of all, it's the wholesale food market. There are two of them. And the wholesale food and as well as the fish market, which also in pink here. Both of these facilities have a distribution of fresh food produce and fisheries in Hong Kong. They are managed by the food market is managed by the AFCD, while the fish market is operated by the Fish Management Office. Three out of the seven wholesale fish markets managed by the Fish Management Office falls within the Victoria Harbour, and they're in Sha Kai Wan, Kwun Tong, and Cheung Sha Wan. And apart from the wholesale fish market, fisheries operators transporting live fish or freshwater fish may also use wholesale food market operated by AFCD, and they are in Western District, Cheung Sha Wan, and Sha Kai Wan. And for refuse transfer stations, they are used heavily under the current waste management system in Hong Kong. Municipal solid waste is collected from the urban areas and new towns and delivered to the nearest refuse transfer station, which is compacted into sealed containers and transferred to landfill sites located in remote parts of the new territories. This bulk transfer system, mainly by sea, actually minimizes the transportation cost and obviates the need for a large number of refuse collection vehicles to travel by land to landfill sites, reducing overall traffic and environmental impacts. There are currently two out of the seven refuse transfer stations located within the Victoria Harbour, including Island West Transfer Station in Kennedy Town and West Kowloon Transfer Station near Stone Cutters Island. And then the Hong Kong Observatory operates a number of tide gauge stations in Hong Kong to monitor sea levels in the Hong Kong waters. And it is located in Quarry Bay. And for the Harbour Patrol Office of the Marine Department, it actually provides the Harbour Patrol and related services. It provides on-scene support to the Vessel Traffic Centre and local Marine Traffic Control Station at Kwai Chung Container Port. And then we talked about refuse transfer station. We now move on to marine refuse collection points. They are also operated by MD. Marine refuse sourced from locations like offshore fish farms, waterfront construction sites, reclamation sites and shipyards, etc., are collected by vessels and then unloaded to refuse containers and then pending subsequent transportation landfills by lorries. There are two of these collection points in Tha Kwo Lang and Yau Ma Tei. And for government dockyard, it is actually on Stone Cutters Island. It's used for the design, procurement, and maintenance of all vessels owned by the government and all conducted in this dockyard, managed by the MD as well. Members may wish to see that there are four water-dependent police operational facilities in the harbour front. They serve the Marine Police Division of the Hong Kong Police Force. This includes the two piers, which are in Sai Wan Ho, one at the government dockyard on Stone Cutters Island and another facility at Dai Avenue of Hong Ham. Next, we move on to the fire service operational facilities. There are altogether four of them within the Victoria Harbour, and all of them are to provide fire service cover to vessels berthed in transit or anchored in the harbour. Apart from fire boat stations, the FSD also has a diving base on Stone Cutters Island, which is a berthing base for diving vessels and speedboats to handle emergencies in Hong Kong Island. And then you'll see one blue dot, which is the customs operational base. It has this particular base on Stone Cutters Island to support the operation of the customs within the harbour. Moving on, this map would show the rest of the municipal uses. First of all, the sewage treatment works, including preliminary ones operated by the DSD. It is actually the sewage collected from the hinterland catchment areas is treated before discharge into the harbour areas. The Stonecutters Island Sewage Treatment Works is one of the largest and compact sewage treatment works of its type in the world and provides treatment to sewage collected by 7 preliminary treatment works in main urban areas of Kowloon and northeast Hong Kong Island. Apart from Stonecutters Island Sewage Treatment Works, there are also 5 preliminary sewage treatment works within the harbour. These facilities are used for screening and removal of grit from sewage, and they're in central Wan Chai East, Sau Kei Wan, Kwai Chung, and Toh Kwa Wan. And for a sewage pumping station, they facilitated the collection of sewage generated from the nearby areas for transfer to a nearby sewage network. They're mostly underground, with only a small pillar box on top, thus allowing possibility of enhancement at its, on its top surface. Now, the picture here shows the sewage pumping station, which is near the Hong Kong entrance to the Cross Harbour Tunnel, and there are 4 of these stations within the harbour. And then there is 1 stormwater pumping station in green in Sheung Wan for flood protection purpose. Members actually will be quite familiar with this particular site as the rooftop of the station because it has been developed into a public open space with the efforts of the former HCC. For water selling kiosks, there are a total of 6 of them within the harbour, and they provide fast and convenient water supplies to local and ocean vessels for various shipping purposes. The vessels to be served would have to moor against a seawall in which the kiosks are located, feeding water directly into the water tank of their vessels. Lastly, for saltwater pumping stations, they actually facilitate the abstraction of seawater to buildings in nearby areas for flushing purposes, and there are altogether 11 of them. We have moved on to the last category of waterland interfaces, and they are tourism/recreational. We'll talk about cruise terminals first. In addition to the long-serving Tsim Sha Tsui Cruise Terminal, the Kai Tak Cruise Terminal, as all members knew, has commenced operation in mid-2013, and we have actually paid an official visit to the terminal. We understand from the operator that the second berth will be also due open in late September. And after that, we understand that both berths will be able to accommodate the largest cruise vessels in the world. And for marinas, marina is actually another waterland interface issue that HC members are very interested in. First, the Secretary has actually briefed the task force on an overview of its developments at the 5th meeting in March 2013. And out of the 12 marinas in Hong Kong, there's only one within the harbour limit, and that is the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club. To give members a broader view of the recreational weather-dependent land uses in Hong Kong, we have also produced this plan that shows the location of marinas and water sports centre in Hong Kong as a whole. So this particular plan zooms out not just the Victoria Harbour, but the Hong Kong as a whole. And members may note that there are actually 5 water sports centres in Hong Kong under LCSD's management, and some more run by non-government entities, such as National Sports Associations and non-government organisations. According to our stock ticking, all these water sports centres fall outside the harbour limit. And repeating my caveat that these water sports facilities mapped here may not be exhaustive, and they only serve examples for members' reference. And members may actually note from this map that there is actually a general pattern of water recreation areas in Hong Kong. And most of them are actually clustered in the eastern and southern parts of Hong Kong waters, most notably in Sai Kung and Stanley and Aberdeen, where natural sheltered waters is available. And maybe the scenery also there is more favourable. And after talking about like a stock-taking exercise, we would like to actually summarise and to provide 3 issues that members have shown real interest in past discussions, and also that further follow-up actions may be possible. We understand that members have the common aspiration to bring more vibrancy to the Victoria Harbour, and that's why we have actually talked to a lot of bureaus and departments on the following 3 particular areas, and we can actually discuss more as to the way forward. First is the water, is the berthing and shelter space issue. We understand that members have concern on the competing uses of the limited water body within the Victoria Harbour. And having due regard to the review of various stakeholders, MD has actually commenced two review exercises, namely the review on berthing and shelter space in Hong Kong, as well as the review on PCWAs recently. These two studies will look into the existing demand and supply situation of both sheltered water space in Hong Kong as well as the existing PCWA arrangements. And when the results of these two reviews are available, I think the government as a whole as well as the HC will be in a better position and more informed position to consider better use of typhoon shelters and related land uses. And the second issue that we can actually explore discussing is the waterborne transportation. Both the TC and the task force have also been urging for more waterborne transportation within Victoria Harbour to improve the marine accessibility, in particular to new areas such as the West Kowloon Cultural District, Kai Tak, and perhaps the new Central Harbour Front. Members will recall at the second meeting of this task force, the Secretary has coordinated a paper to analyse various factors to be considered when considering waterborne transportation within Victoria Harbour. In fact, infrastructure-wise, there are already 50-plus public landing facilities within Victoria Harbour, as we can see in the earlier slides. And also when planning for new harbourfront areas, such as the Wan Chai Development Phase 2, or when a harbourfront area is revitalised, such as the Yau Tong Bay area, new public landings have been planned to facilitate marine accessibility to these areas. And surface-wise, we also understand that there should not be regulatory impediment for a person to operate water taxi services under the existing regime. Therefore, the provision of this particular type of charter hire service remains a question of market interest or business viability rather than a legal issue. And the last issue that we can possibly touch on is water sports. We understand that some members would like to see more of these kind of activities to take place within the Victoria Harbour. And that's why members may also recall that the Hong Kong Water Sports Council has actually proposed having a water sports centre in Kai Tak Approach Channel and Kwun Tong Typhoon Shelter. We actually note that HAB has indicated in principle support to this proposal. However, there are various technical issues to be resolved, in particular the water quality or the water body concerned. As for the water quality issue, members may freshly remember that EPT has just consulted the Commission on this initiative to improve coastal water quality within the Victoria Harbour, and has identified Kai Tak and Kowloon East to be a priority area for implementing improvement measures. Although there's no permanent water sports facilities within Victoria Harbour, there are indeed various types of water sports activities of different events happening in the harbour. For example, the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club has been organising a variety of sailing races throughout the year. There are also some kind of a one-off water sports taking place in the harbour. For example, the annual New World Harbour Race swimming in October, which has actually happened, or the Hong Kong Dragon Boat Carnival organised every June. The Secretariat has also coordinated with various bureaus and departments to update an event calendar quarterly to provide information in relation to some large-scale events happening within Victoria Harbour and its harbourfront areas. So this concludes the end of this presentation, and again, members should note that the information provided in this presentation is to the best of our knowledge and may not be exhaustive. We also welcome your suggestions as to what other types of waterland interfaces you would like this task force to focus on, and we can then also decide on what's the next step that we should continue on this front. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Christine, for the update. Members are invited to give your views. But before that, I would like to remind members that this task force will focus on overall waterland interface issues. So members propose to review some of the location-specific issues or projects. For example, Kai Tak Fantasy. Then these such issues should be discussed at the respective geographical task force. Okay, members, any views? Paul?
Just an immediate question to government. So what are you planning to do now?
Thomas, would like to
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for Paul's question. I think the presentation that the Harvard unit has compiled, it was done on members' request, and I think it follows on a previous exercise to update members. And I think there are several points which might be worth for members to note. The first one is, in terms of the what we call the waterland interface facilities, like the piers, landings, etc. There is you can actually see from the presentation there is a pretty wide spatial distribution of those facilities. So again, going back to the earlier discussion, I think it's a question that I would put to members as to is there any particular water use or water dependent use that you would like to see being pursued in the harbour? And if so, the question is, how would we go about finding the answer to the question that Paul and others have raised earlier, which is, what would be the right places or right locations for looking at those uses? That's the first thing. The second observation that I think members may wish to note is, if we look at the committed port industrial uses within the harbour, and I think by and large, Marine Department may confirm us, by and large, those uses, especially I think those on the western side of the harbour, probably uses that will stay for a very long period of time. So I think the scope, if you just look at the map that we have produced, the scope for any reconfiguration or any juggling of water uses and also the landslide uses there is pretty limited. So in a way, the solution space, if I may use that term, that we would be looking for if we are looking at any kind of waterland interface, new facilities or new water uses, I think we will be looking more towards the eastern side of the harbour. I note with interest that even in the earlier presentation by BMT, they also cited the eastern side of the harbour as an example. I think this only serves to illustrate that this is probably more or less the area that people will look to when we are talking about any kind of new, especially recreational or leisure or sports uses. The third point I would like to make is, which is towards the end of Christine's presentation, I think we have singled out three issues which members have expressed interest before. On the berthing and shelter space, and in a way this relates to the question of whether we have enough or whether there is any possibility of introducing any berthing or shelter, more berthing place in Hong Kong, both as a whole and also within the harbour. And I think that very much depends on the study that is now being conducted, the two reviews being conducted by the Marine Department, and I understand that this is already underway. So maybe what we can do is we can ask Marine Department to keep us posted on the findings of those studies, and then we can talk about the scope of doing so, both within and perhaps outside the harbour, which in a way might also have implications for the water use within the harbour. The other one is waterborne transportation. I think the soul searching that we have done so far indicates that there isn't much regulatory impediment. At the end of the day, it's a question of whether there is any entrepreneurial enterprise or ventures that would see any scope in introducing that kind of services in Hong Kong. Now, I think previously we have seen some expression of interest in that area. But at the same time, I think we are not seeing any concrete proposals as yet, and I think it's still too early to tell whether this is something that any specific kind of intervention is needed. And I'm not sure whether it is simply a question of infrastructure or just government intervention would help, rather than something which we better leave it to the market. And the third one is the water sports, and also the more generally the recreational and leisure use. I think, like we said earlier, if there is indeed scope for looking at space for such kind of use. It would probably mostly be in the eastern side of the harbour. And I would very much perhaps put the questions to members, if this is indeed members' general view that this is where we should be looking into, I would suggest perhaps we could start by looking at what kind of uses, like some of the water sports center or some of the recreational uses that has been discussed before, both in this task force and also in other task force, and then we can look at where would they be, or where best should they be going. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Thomas. Nick, you want to any comment?
Just some observations, Chair. I think we need to move into proactive mode. I think we've just reacting to the comments just being made, we've tended to be reactive and wait for people to come up with their ideas, come up with their suggestions. I think in both in terms of waterborne transportation and recreational activity on the water, we should be initiating pilots. Not looking at it as a whole, if you like, but looking at pilots. We know that West Kowloon are actively looking at water taxis. Some sort of joint venture between Commission and West Kowloon would seem to make sense, or joint initiative rather. And maybe we build Kaitak into that as well, getting access to the Fantasy in due course, etc. So I would like to see a proactive initiative around waterborne transportation in joint venture with West Kowloon. And then I think recreation activity on the water. We've toyed with the Kaitak Nullah for years and years now. To me, it's the obvious place for some form. And obviously, we have to determine how much and what sort. But again, and again, I think we should be pushing EPD in terms of enhancing the water quality. We know it can be done. I suspect it's a question of cost. So let's get down to how much it will cost and how quickly it can be done. So as a commission, I would like to see us adopting a proactive approach on both those topics in the form of pilots.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick, for comment and view. Let maybe let see other members have other views as well. Just Charter, you're raising your hand.
Thank you, Chair. I just thought we had like a presentation on the process and MSP, and I think if we begin to, we just start doing that because we know we need it, and all these questions will be answered much better than us trying to decide an experiment with certain areas. As I mean, I think pilots are good, but maybe after the MSP is done, then it's more clear. It's more logical to do it that way. And I don't think we should waste any more time in trying to make that decision. The sooner it's better. And maybe you can do it in a way that you commission something for like 3 months or something, you get somewhere, and then you can then take it forward further, rather than maybe it's difficult to decide on a one-year study or whatever. But I think just generally going by maybe the eastern side, we should try something. Maybe we'll forget about other issues that we need to address. And I also think just waiting for market to respond is not showing leadership and vision. And that I think anybody can do. Being here as a commission, we need to be much more proactive, and I agree with Nick very much. And it's been 10 years. Okay. And we cannot afford any more loss of time. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other views as well? Yes. Is it Paul?
I'm glad that Sujata opened with it. Thomas, the questions you all raised, I mean, those are questions that have to come out of a marine spatial plan and a process. Now, whether the marine spatial plan, the way Samantha presents that, because he's from WWS, so she focuses a lot on the environmental and biodiversity issues, shouldn't distract people from the fact that she proposes a really solid process. And that's what's being offered here, and it shows the way out to trying to get to answers to these questions. Now, today we got the list of facilities But that's just a list of facilities. There are facilities missing. I'm sure that the yacht club would hate to be called a marina when they're actually a water sports center and next to a mooring area, but they're not a marina in that sense. The military facilities are not on it. I mean, you know, we can say the water outfalls and the water intakes are not on it. So we can highlight all these things, but I think the question is more, if we work with the stakeholders, is what do people really want? Now, if in that process, water transport, or waterborne transport is one of the stakeholders in the marine spatial planning, they will bring up forward what their issues are. Mm-hmm. The availability of piers or the lack of availability of piers, the lack of water, fuel, the availability of fuel. They could bring up issues like, you're not allowed to loiter at the landing steps. You're not that, you know, it's not like a taxi that can hang around the pavement with a light and say, hello, do you want to use me? Hello, can you come here? That's not possible under the marine regulations don't allow you to loiter at the landing steps. So there are impediments, but nobody has told us. I just suggest one of them because I've heard it, but even that may not be valid because it hasn't gone through a real process. Just me heard it and I told you. That doesn't make my comment a valid comment. And maybe the waterborne transport is one of those go-go van apps. Maybe all the existing boats on the water are ready to go and do pick up some passengers here and there, as and when they are available. If they have a go-go van app that allows them to be using it, because then they could be chartered, and then the payment is separate from the captain, because the captain can't take payment on these boats. You know, so there are technical issues that will come out if we do a marine spatial planning project. On the tourism side, I'm sure that if the tourism guys get involved, they will have their issues about the landing steps they use and the piers that they use and the limitations of the piers and pier 9 and 10. How do I sell tickets? How do I let my passengers wait if I go on a cruise boat? You know, what do I have to do? Where's the bus stop? I mean, everybody will have their issues. It will come out of a good solid process where we engage the stakeholders. We can just sit here guessing. But I think we need a process to bring that out. So I support Sujata's proposal. Let's get an engagement and a process going so we can fish out those issues and respond to them and act on them.
Okay. Yeah. Nick, want to follow up?
Chairman, just to respond, I mean, in an ideal world, I would agree with Paul. But I think Paul's just highlighted the challenge that will be involved if you embark on a marine spatial plan. You're going to have to involve everybody in town. It'll be a major engagement exercise. 3 years' time, we shall still be talking. I just think we want to get on. We know specifically what we want to do in terms of water taxes. We know what we want to do in terms of recreation. Why not get on with it?
Okay. Yes, Chrissy?
I think I want to supplement, because I read from past meeting discussions that we would like to adopt a parallel approach to this issue. This is the first time that we were briefed on MSPs, and I think it's maybe a little bit premature for members to decide at this juncture whether they would like to pursue on a whole scope of MSP process. However, I think that it's actually valid for us to go back and extract certain elements from this sort of process and see whether there are values or elements from it that we can take on board in terms of future planning, because in the presentation we heard ideas such as public involvement, the choices to be made, and recognize the multi-activity opportunities present in our water space. I think these are values and elements that we actually have been adopting in our planning process, and I think the MSP, be it over a concept, there are actually certain elements of it that we can consider forward in terms of the planning strategically planning kind of phase. But at the same time, I don't think that should stop us from doing pilot projects that Chairman proposed, or other district issues that we can deal with on an ad hoc basis or on a more micro kind of stage. So I think we have agreed, this task was actually agreed on a parallel approach on doing both at the same time. So I think we are actually talking on two levels of the same issue, and I think maybe members can give us some feedback as to exactly what particular issues that you would like to be resolved. And that's exactly why we have singled out three of them at the end of the presentation. And we would like to know whether you agree to these three to be, you know, the major focus of this task force, or whether there are others that that are to be pursued. Yeah.
Thanks, Christine.
容許我用廣東話去表達，因為喺大家頭先都講過啦，陸地個使用就好固定嘅，但係水域嘅使用就好多時好廣泛啊，大家即係唔同嘅用途都喺同一個水域裏邊。咁我諗希望大家都要關注到，即係現有佢哋嘅有啲仲有啲航運或者營運者喺度，雖然有啲海上活動喺呢個維港裏邊發生。 即係不定都有，咁就係每一年嘅都會有出現嘅。咁就但係佢哋都唔會話要有一啲既定嘅位置，即係或者去擺一啲長久嘅設施喺度。我希望即係話可以嘅話咧，大家共存，即係尤其是喺講緊避風塘，因為避風塘嚟講咧，我諗對係海上嘅使用者咧就好重要。咁如果係話即係有啲位置真係現有係有需要用到嘅，或者喺唔同嘅環境之下，你會大家會見到。 佢嗰個功能咧係好顯著出現嘅，咁呢一度咧就我希望就即係日後就算發展都要關注下，即係現有嘅使用者。當然，多謝黃生。當然咧就係其實我哋一向即係
Harbourfront Commission 咧都係好着重呢個what we call public engagement 公共參與，所以 whatever 我哋無論做啲乜嘢或者有啲咩構想咧，我都好相信咧就一定會係各持份者咧都會有機會可以參與同埋俾意見嘅。Now, can I do a bit of recap here? Today, we heard this the two presentations on marine spatial planning. And also we have, and thanks to the Secretariat, we have this update on water-dependent land uses in Victoria Harbour, which I think all of us, many of us can sense the immediate question is what next? And also I can see the sentiment of let's be a bit more proactive. Having said that, I think it's actually not very prudent to actually try to jump to something in, say, less than 5 minutes' time. And the reason why I say 5 minutes, because it's not already five on this clock, and there's a very strong reason, very important reason that as chairman, I do not want this meeting to overrun at least by too much, for a very reason which I'll explain when I close this meeting. I don't want to, I'll explain later. So I think the best arrangement is perhaps the Secretariat will arrange another closed-door session, a brainstorming session that we can actually throw out our ideas much more freely and actually and see and have a better exchange of members' views on the overall planning of Victoria Harbour, what to where to focus on and what and how to actually push it, I won't say push it out, but at least to have it handled in a more proactive manner. How do members agree on that? Okay. Well, okay.
Sorry, Jen, is that just for water? Land-water interface issues? Yes. Actually, the chairman actually has previously asked for Plan D to do another of the briefing on the planning for the whole harbour, Victoria Harbour approach and process, and open up the meeting to all HC members to join so that they can participate in that process. So it would focus on water-land interface, but we would invite all HC members to participate.
Okay, thanks. Okay, if that's the case, let's move on to the next agenda item. Draw it to a close for the time being. And sorry, Tom? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, just a quick thing. It felt like we were on the cusp of making some decisions then.
Sorry?
It felt like we were on the cusp of making some decisions then about what to do next in terms of whether to be proactive, whether to get on with things, whether to develop this MSP. Now, I appreciate it's approaching 5 o'clock. We want to hold another meeting, so be it. If so, can we do that as soon as possible, please?
Oh, yeah.
Can we not wait another kind of 3-4 months until momentum's lost? Can we do it in the next few weeks?
Christine, you're the one who gets...
The brainstorming session can actually be held in October if availability, after we check the availability, so it will be very soon.
Okay, well, thank you.